Our specialty was taking businesses that really hit some ceiling. A lot of times that's in the 7-figure mark, 8-figure mark, and they're just stuck. And we would come in and just overhaul everything, increase their conversion rate, run their creative, run all their paid media, SEO, email, whatever they needed, and really just crank them and scale their business up to 8-9 figures.
Samir El-Khamouni is a serial entrepreneur who has generated over $550 million in e-commerce sales through his award-winning agency, Fetch and Funnel.
He's now pioneering the future of digital marketing at the intersection of Web3 and traditional commerce through his work with Avanti3 and his Scaling with Samir podcast.
There is no perfect funnel because it can always be optimized more. Every business is different. What percentage is your conversion rate and everything else totally depends on your product, your industry, your service. 90% of funnels, I guarantee you, go read your website right now, go read your landing page, your funnel, whatever it is. You are not talking about the benefits enough. You're talking about the features. And I guarantee if it doesn't stress you out, it's not good enough.
What are your thoughts on podcasting as a top of the funnel?
Just an opportunity for you to do really high networking. You have a reason to reach out to someone. You have a reason to network with someone. You can walk up to that person that you admire and say, hey, I'd love to have you on my podcast. And I think you can even have a really small podcast with barely any views. And if you produce it well enough, the perceived value is still there. So I had a 28% conversion rate from guests to clients.
Hello everyone, Bogdan Bratis from SaaSPod here. Welcome back to a new episode of the Pod Files. And I have here one of my friends, Samir El-Khamouni. We met on Podmatch and we decided to record a podcast together. And I researched all about him and he has a lot of knowledge to share with you guys. And you're going to find this episode really, really insightful and really, really educational as well. So Samir, welcome to the show.
Pumped to be here. Appreciate it, buddy.
Amazing, man. So where are you joining us from today?
I live in sunny Las Vegas.
Amazing. Let's get straight into the episode. So first thing first, I would like to learn more about you. Obviously, I did my research on you, but the audience would like to know more about you. What do you do? What you're best known for in the digital marketing space?
Yeah. Last 8 years, I was the founder and CEO of Fetch and Funnel. So was a performance-based marketing agency. So really our specialty was taking businesses that really hit some ceiling. A lot of times that's in the 7-figure mark, sometimes in the 8-figure mark. And they're just stuck. They're trying to break through that ceiling and they're trying to figure out why they can't break through it. You know, maybe they're growing a little bit, but just some stagnation. And we would come in and just overhaul everything, increase their conversion rate, run their creative, run all their paid media, SEO, email, whatever they needed, and really just crank them and scale their business up to 8-9 figures, tons of case studies, all that good stuff. We're definitely specialties on, we think of everything as a funnel, all right? And I know that you want to talk about that today. And, we really kind of focused on most parts of the funnel, but I would say, you know, better known for bottom of funnel-ish, you could say. There's a lot of e-commerce clients and SaaS-based clients, info products, you name it. And then last year we were acquired by Elasticity, which is a St. Louis agency that really focuses on top of funnel. So they're all like PR and, SEO focused and whatnot. And so it was really a great match because we both sort of had our skill sets. And now I'm kind of moving on to my next thing, having fun with that. But in the meantime, I still love sharing my knowledge and experience with everybody. And Fetch and Funnel is still a great agency to work with.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And what's your next thing out of curiosity? What are you working on right now?
I'm working on a platform called Avanti3. So it's a Web3, revolutionary Web3 platform. So it's all about monetization, creating unique, engaging opportunities, gamifying fandom, just a bunch of fun stuff that we're creating, we're building the future. So, VR, AR, you name it. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be going live beginning of fall. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That's pretty cool. Awesome. Cool. So, since you've been working a lot with funnels, one question, it's a very generic question, but I hope this will spark a little bit of a discussion. In your view, what's a perfect funnel? How does that look like for you?
Ooh, there is no perfect funnel. That's because good. It can always be optimized.
Obviously,
more.
But in your view, kind of like how?
I mean, a perfect funnel is one that's profitable. A profitable funnel, I would say, right? Because every business is different. Every your percentages are always going to be different. What percentage is your conversion rate and everything else totally depends on your product, your industry, your service, everything. So I would say the perfect funnel is a profitable funnel.
That's from a goal perspective. But let's say, let's take a case study. I think you mentioned a dentist at some point in one of your speeches I was watching on YouTube.
Okay.
And then you said something and that made me really chuckle. You get for just like a hygienist appointment or something like that. And then you got out with a root canal, $5,000 worth of procedures after that. And obviously that's part of the funnel in a way, if that makes sense.
Sure.
It's reselling and all that. So let's take that as an example, even though that's not my ideal customer in any way, because dentists, most likely they're not going to start a podcast, but it's fun because everybody relates to that. Let's kind of like look into that and how would you build a funnel for that?
Well, so you're talking about an online and an offline funnel in theory with that, right? So we have to identify that first. So the online funnel is attracting new customers, most likely, sounds like. And so for that, it's really about emotion and the hook and the offer and what can you do to get someone new in? And I think that's really important based on what is your unique selling point? What makes your dentistry the best? You know, are you a franchise and you just want to get the cheapest new customer in and that's all you care about? Do you specialize in cosmetics? Do you, right? Like where do you focus and what type of customer do you want? Because that's one of the most important things. Understanding your ideal customer profile so you could capture more of them, not just, right? I think dentistry is a tricky one because if I just advertise really inexpensive first-time cleanings, I might attract a very cheap customer or a customer that may not have a lot of money and they haven't gotten a cleaning in a long time. Mm-hmm. Now, that might be a good thing because there could be a lot of issues that you could upsell them, sort of the offline side of things, like in the inside the practice. But on the other hand, if it's someone who is really just wanting a really cheap cleaning, you know, it may or may not work, right? So you really have to understand every aspect. And that's, I think, one of the most important things to understand in general is just looking at your conversion rates and your different conversion events across every section of your funnel, both online and offline, right? So if you're running ads, what does that look like conversion rate from ad into a lead? Obviously, then you're trying to get them to come to the practice. Then, of course, what's that conversion rate? Then once they're inside the practice, how many are offered an upsell? And then what percentage of them take that? And then you can always find little tweaks to improve those percentages. So for example, maybe the offer I'm making is not good enough, right? I can decrease the price or offer them more services or give them something for free or whatever it is, right? And so, you know, or even just say, hey, we'll do like a free, you know, the cleaning is not even discounted, just like a free checkup or whatever, right? And then on the, you know, when they're in as a patient, maybe they can't afford that, but you offer financing or you offer a payment plan or you offer, right, or some kind of other opportunity so you can convert more of those people. So you're always just kind of looking and trying to understand each of those things, right? Because maybe you have them call in and people aren't, and there isn't someone to answer the phone 24/7. So you're losing them there. And then when you call them back, they don't answer. So then have an AI bot as a backup. Hey, there wasn't anybody to answer the phone, but I'm an AI bot. I can help you, blah, 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 schedule appointment, answer any questions. Now those AI bots are so easy to set up, you know, use Intercom or any of those good ones. And, you know, it's fairly easy to set up. So you're just really looking for each section of that to then really, right? Because then you're, because sometimes I could generate a million leads, but if they're low quality, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
right?
It's not going to turn into profit. It's not going to happen.
Exactly. So you're kind of measuring quality versus quantity and always keeping an eye on everything.
That's awesome. So obviously it's really important what your competition does, right? As well in the market. So for example, for my business, right, I'm a podcast production business. I deal with podcasts. We produce content for other people. And you also want to look into what your competition does as well. So how important is competitive analysis into this process? And how should a business owner look at it and do it?
Yeah, that's a great question. So definitely do that for sure. And look for opportunities to do it better. And I would argue that if you're a local business, local service, anything like that, you usually have a big opportunity to just crush the bigger companies, funny enough, and the franchises. And much easier to do because they've got fixed budgets, fixed websites, you name it. So I would say the 2-3 things that you want to pay the most attention to. One is try to find their ads. There's plenty of websites you could check, right? There's websites you could check to find like their Google ads if they're running them. Just search your local area, right? So I would search like Dentist Las Vegas. I'm in a Summerlin area. So I'd say like Dentist Summerlin. See who shows up first. Mm-hmm. If you're a local business, set up Google My Business. Most important thing that you could possibly do. And then look at Facebook ads library. It's one of the best places to look for ads.
I was about to ask where to do
facebook.com/ads/library. And you could look up any Facebook page, any. So sometimes we get inspiration from other businesses, other industries, other verticals, right? So I would just urge you to look at other people's ads and see if you feel like it's a good ad. Is it something you would click or pay attention to? Mm-hmm. If you don't like it, then don't, you know, pay attention to it. And you can see the date when they started running those ads. So if you see every single ad says, we're recording this in June 2025. So then if it says June, it's like, okay, they launched all those ads this month. They're not that fresh. But if you see an ad running from November or December or whenever, you're like, okay, they've been running this ad for 6-7 months.
That means probably works.
Mm-hmm. Right? And then click the ad. You could see what landing pages it's going to. Check if they have landing pages. It's an important one. And then check their website. What are they doing on their website? What pages do they have? Do they have a dedicated page for every service they offer? Something you should definitely do. Mm-hmm. Are they offering FAQs at the bottom of their pages? Something super important for you to do. Mobile. Check the mobile version of their website, especially the people that you know are crushing it, right? If you know for a fact there's a competitor in your area and they're very successful, those are the ones that you want to funnel hack, right? Mm-hmm. Not the Joe Schmo that you know you're better than. You don't care about them. You want to come after the ones that are successful. And everybody always ignores mobile because you're doing the research on your computer. Yeah. Check their mobile site because the majority of traffic is coming from mobile. So what does that look like? Mm-hmm. And now I think the other interesting thing to be really thinking about and trying to incorporate is AI. And so one of the things that we encourage a lot of people is actually optimizing for Bing, because if you optimize for Bing, that's ChatGPT. So you're way more likely to show up in ChatGPT. And so many people are using it as a search engine now, you know, as a comparison, you name it. So yeah.
I definitely encourage people that haven't toyed with ChatGPT very much is to search for the company, to ask, like, do you know who this company is? And see what you get, because you'll be surprised. Sometimes he may know, but if you don't put the right efforts in the right places, ChatGPT won't know who you are exactly. So obviously, I think SEO with chat kind of like go hand in hand in a way. Because I've seen if I write an article about something and it starts ranking up on Google, ChatGPT will know about it. At some point, we'll use it as a resource or something. And it will, for example, ranking for best podcast production studios in the UK, for example. If you write something like that, you go, what are the best podcast production companies in the UK? Your article is the resource where you all are also included. So obviously you hack the system this way. So it's pretty cool. But yeah, 100%. I didn't know about Bing though.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's because that's ChatGPT, right? It's an important one. And, you know, we always usually ignore Bing and focus on Google so much. But yeah, it's definitely one to pay attention to.
Yeah. And you also said something about, and I read the book Sell Like Crazy, I guess it's called, where they talked about, and at some point they talked about, you know, you must have a guarantee. Otherwise, and I think I noted here something like, if you don't sweat it, something like that, if that doesn't keep you awake, right?
If it doesn't stress you out, though, it's not good enough.
It's not a good one,
Yeah, Sabri Subi's a great marketer. I've heard mixed things about the agency, but we'll leave it there. But I love his marketing, and anything you can learn from him. I think he's a wealth of knowledge for sure. And that's a great book. I definitely encourage anybody to read it. But it's true. I have pushed hundreds of clients exactly like that. They go, well, it's a 4th of July sale. Let's offer 10% off. I said, well, does 10% stress you out? No. well, then it's not good enough. Right. And it is. And they're like, well, what is that? What do you mean? Does 20% make you nervous? Not really. Is 30% make you nervous? Yes. Okay, perfect. Let's try to go with 28% or 30%. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you know, obviously we need to make sure that we're still profitable, and you can make sure you can analyze your numbers. And a guarantee is one, you know, not everyone can offer. And I think it's important to offer the right guarantee. And sometimes the right guarantee you can word in a really fun and interesting way. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, instead of a money back guarantee, we did a free vacation guarantee. So we said, you get a free vacation.
I like that. That's so right? Crazy good.
So then we said, either we absolutely crush it and annihilate it for you, and you are now making so much money based on the goals that we set together and we accomplish it, that you, Bogdan, put yourself on a vacation. Go for it. You deserve it. You found us. We crushed it for you. Go on a vacation. But if we don't hit those targets and hit those results, then we'll pay for your vacation. You know, up to some value.
I like that. Have you done that for a business?
Yeah. We did it for Fetch and Funnel. It worked great. Had some fun ads around it, sitting back on vacation, you know. Right, that's really like good. Where you want to be mentally as the client, right? I don't want to be stressed. What's my marketing agency doing? What's going on?
And so part of the branding and the promise as well. So
exactly. And then technically I can offer you kind of less than a money back guarantee in a way. And it's still really appealing. So I would encourage people to think about, you know, think outside the box, not just like the standard stuff. And, you know, a dentistry, for example, that's a tricky one. What are you going to do? I mean, I had a filling once and they cracked my tooth. Cost me tons of money. And, you know, and I had to get my tooth replaced.
Sue them.
I think, right? Yeah. So it's not like they offered me any kind of guarantee or anything like that, right? But it can help. And you're just, again, like exactly like you mentioned, pay attention to the competition. Are they offering that? If not, maybe it's not something you have to do, or maybe that's something that can separate you, you know, from the pack, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like that you open people's minds about that the guarantee doesn't need to be that you get your money back, because you see that everywhere, right? Or you see that in most places.
And I've only ever gotten my money back once.
There you go. So that's also
I've been offered that multiple times. They didn't fulfill based on their promises, and I only got my money back once. And that one time I got my money back, it took like 6 months, and it was like $4,000. It wasn't even that much money. It was like I called it a wash, and then finally he sent it back. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, got you. And, you know, just offering a guarantee, no matter what type of guarantee, as long as it's tangible in some way and it makes you a little bit stressed about it, right? So it's not, I don't know, if we don't deliver, I'm not sure, like I'm going to send you an apology. That's not a good guarantee. But if we deliver, if we don't deliver and you say you give them a certain percentage back or could be something more tangible that is not going to break your business, that's going to be more than maybe your competitors do. Maybe your competitors don't even offer a guarantee, and that's going to help out with your funnel. So that's really cool.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, in podcasting, I've seen it. I've seen it everywhere, right? I mean, you tend to see it more in service-based businesses, and then I think product-based businesses will back up their product, right? Mm. So, you know, 30-day money back guarantee or what have you, right? But we're challenging one of the Fetch and Funnel clients right now sells like a $1,600 electric skateboard, and they're like, well, one, you know, and that's a tricky one. I understand. You accept a return and then what do you do with it? You're not really selling refurbished models right now. So like, I understand it, but I'm also we're encouraging them how much of a higher conversion rate they'll have if they're able to just reduce anybody's anxiety about making this big purchase. And what if I get it and I don't like it and blah, 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 blah. Right. So yeah, I mean, look at Patagonia. It's probably one of the best guarantees/warranties in the world, right? Just zero questions asked, lifetime guarantee on their product. I mean, that's a brand that stands behind what they make.
Yeah.
And I, you know, applaud them for how they handle those as well. And so that's one, you know, to set the bar, I'd say. Yeah.
Now in this part of the show, we are going to break it up a little bit because we touched on a few serious topics. But now what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask you a few random questions. So I've got here what I call, the magic box or the mystery box or whatever you want to call it, the AI box, because actually AI wrote these questions, not me. But the idea is that I'm going to ask you a few random questions. They have no relationship to business at all, most of them. And I want you to answer them. And after that, we get back into the game. Is that cool?
Sounds great.
Awesome. So I'll choose one question for you.
Okay. So
if you could instantly master one skill unrelated to your career, what would it be?
I think like speed reading.
I like that. That's pretty cool.
Mm. I took like a speed reading class when I was young, and I am not a fast reader. And so I feel like it inhibits me from consuming as much as I would like. So being able to read fast and comprehending it at the same time.
Yeah, because you can read fast, but you may not actually understand what you're reading. Could happen. For me, English is a second language. Reading for me is slowish, I would say medium fast, I would say, but I would have loved to be able to read a lot faster and to be able to, and also the patience to read as well. Obviously, if you have a good book and you read it and it keeps you engaged, that's really good, but not all books are like that. Sometimes you find little, pieces of wisdom, if that makes sense, and that's what you actually take out of it, and you need to go through the entire book. But I've seen some of these crazy apps which gives you like a summary of the book or something like that, but I never use that. So
some of my friends were like, "Oh no, we have AI. I don't even read anymore." And I'm like, "Yeah, but no."
Nah, it's also like the feel as well. Once you finish the book, you feel like, "Okay, I'm 1% smarter than yesterday."
That's right.
Right. So that's a nice feeling to have. Only that feeling makes you want to do it, right? So that's actually a pretty cool skill. Yeah.
I would love that. And I feel like it doesn't have any negative, like if I could hear other people's thoughts, yeah, that might be helpful to be manipulative, but like that would also suck at the same time.
Yeah, imagine that. Right. So let's go to the next one. It's not rigged. I'm picking them randomly. Just don't worry
about
it.
Love it.
Oh, actually, this question never came up so far in the
All
podcast.
All right, dig it.
If someone offered you £1 million, because it's in pounds in here, to give a speech in a language you don't know, would you do it? How would you approach it?
£1 million.
Uh-huh.
All right. So what's that? 1.1, 1.2 million USD?
Around that.
So it would depend on the language. Do I know the language?
No, but let's say... Actually, this is such a good segue to another question.
Because it's like, if you tell me to do it in Chinese or Arabic...
No, you'll do it in Romanian.
All right. Romanian, then like, yeah, why not? Because
you know a little bit, right?
Well, it's not that. That's a language that is spoken the way you read it. So am I going to mispronounce words? For sure. But at least, is most of the point going to get across? Yeah. And I don't know. I would have fun with it. So 100% I would do it because... Luckily, that's a skill set I have is presenting anyways. Yeah, that's just, I would have no problem doing it. Actually, have you heard of, what's it called? PowerPoint roulette?
No.
PowerPoint karaoke. That's what it's called.
PowerPoint.
So there's a website, whatever, app, whatever. PowerPoint karaoke. And essentially what happens is you get a set of slides and you have no idea what the slides are and you have to give this presentation.
I love this. This is so
it's
fun.
Like the best team building exercise because you give everybody like, I've done this drunk. I've done this at masterminds. I've done it with teammates. It's just super fun.
This reminds me of Impractical Jokers.
Because you have no idea what you're getting.
This reminds me of Impractical Jokers, the show.
Yeah, exactly.
This reminds me exactly of that.
That's it. And it's just a fun game to play. Like I encourage anybody to do it, especially with your team. Like it's a fun team building exercise. Sometimes the slides suck. Sometimes they're hilarious, right? It all depends. But yeah, you just all of a sudden you're just okay.
Are they created by somebody or like are they generated or something?
It's been around a long time. So it's definitely been there for a while. But you get like I'm looking at it right now. The first slide just says healthy habits and it's got food and pills behind it. And then the second slide is someone in a wrestling match about to body slam someone. Like, how do you segue into that?
I think that's a cool thing to do. you know, from time to time with your teammates or something like that. Yeah, that's pretty, pretty awesome. Okay, last question for you. Let's have a look. If you had a time machine, but could you use it only once, would you go to the past or the future?
But then I would just go back to who I was at that time, or I would take myself with me to that time.
I tell my guests, I always tell them that you'll need to stay there if you go.
Ah, shit. I would not go to the future.
You're afraid of
I'm
the
really
future?
Content where I am. So
I know, but you'll need to choose one of those.
Then I would just go to the past, but only a little bit.
Only a little bit. Oh, and what specific time?
Shit, I'd go back to 10 years old and I would just buy shit tons of Bitcoin. That's it. Right there. There 10 years old. I'm going to start mowing lawns, I think, at 12. Maybe 12 years old. We'll start there. And I'm just doubling down on Bitcoin nonstop the whole time.
Right. That's pretty cool.
Everything else, yeah, you could gamble. You could do other things. Hmm. Of course, if I knew what I knew now 5 years ago, you know, okay, business bets, whatever, but nah, that's what I would do for sure.
Would you feel like you did enough until today? If you would go back, obviously, in the past with the mind you have right now, you would feel like, oh, I can do better, right?
Sure, of course.
Are you pleased with what you've accomplished so far?
100%.
That's good. That's a great thing to have as, not just as an entrepreneur, but also as a person as a whole. If you feel good about yourself and what you've done in the past, there's nothing stopping you in the future, like to smash it 100%.
And I think the two biggest things is one, don't compare yourself to others, which I know is so difficult for us, right? But you just got to do it. Like, root for everybody else, be pumped for them when they win, never be jealous, and just don't compare yourself, because you have no idea. I have no idea what you've been through in your life. Like, there's no reason for me to compare in any way, shape, or form. And then the second thing is just try to enjoy the ride. That was a really hard one for me. That was the hardest one for me. And so really being able to figure that out and then I don't care. Like, and then if things get delayed, if things happen, like, it's totally okay. Like, just then let me enjoy the ride, right? Let me, you know, whatever happens, happens. And I was a workaholic, working a bajillion hours, always grinding, always hustling. And it was kind of like, for what, right? Like, I still work super hard, but I also enjoy my life a lot. I play hard. I jump in the pool every day. I just enjoy my life too. So I think that's so important because, yeah, I mean, if you all of a sudden you get everything overnight, if I give you everything, I give you all the money in the world, I give you every car you ever want, all the things, and then you're like, all right, well, now what? And it, you know, it's just not going to do in anything. And so if you don't learn to enjoy the ride and all you're trying to do is hit the next goal, hit the next target, I've been there. It's not as rewarding. And then I hit the goals and I hit the, and it's just not, you know, I think it's a very important thing. I even have a sticker right here. So I remember to do it every day. Enjoy the ride.
Enjoy the ride. Yeah, that's really cool. There is a song, it's called Secret of Life. So the secret of life is enjoying the passage of time. Any fool can do it. There ain't nothing to it. Nobody knows how we got here. At the top of the hill, and it goes on and on. And I think that song is so cool. It's like, just enjoy the ride, exactly like you said. And it gives you that feeling of like, you know what? What's the worst thing that can happen? Just do whatever you can do today. Don't compare yourself to anybody. Don't look up at your... Obviously, you need to do the competitive analysis to see what you're doing.
Fine.
But don't be like that type of guy that you're looking at, oh, these guys accomplished so much. When I'm going to get there and whatever. Because like you said, you don't know what they are all about. Maybe they're selling the business at this moment. Maybe they plan for an exit. Maybe they don't want to do this anymore. Or they take it a lot slower than you're doing now. You don't know. You don't know all that stuff. So you have to like just do your best and enjoy the process. I think even though it sounds a cliche, that's how it is.
No, but it's true. It's true. For the first few years of running the agency, there'd be other agencies growing faster and I would get so upset and I should be there. Oh, we're better than them. Why am I not at that same? But then you just really never know. Like even agencies I would compare ourselves to and be like, well, they're growing faster. They're doing a really great job. I would interview people from there, and we even hired one or two people from there, and they hated their job. They couldn't stand their life. They couldn't stand the team, right? And then I'm very proud that we like built a family. Like everyone enjoyed, like everyone loved working for me. Everyone, like we, you know, everyone was really happy. Like we had really great team members and fulfillment and whatnot. And so I feel just you can't compare. And there's so many things you can't measure and everything else. It's human nature, of course. But if you're able to unlock those two things, right. And enjoying the ride is also about just being more present, because if you're just trying to run a marathon and just keep hitting that, you're kind of living in the future all the time, which mm-hmm. is exhausting and sometimes not fruitful for not very productive.
What are your thoughts on podcasting as a content marketing strategy and as a top of the funnel strategy?
So it's amazing. And I would say almost everyone should do it, because for a couple of different reasons. First, I would encourage you to be a guest. You know, go on a website like Podmatch or whatever, go be a guest on some podcasts, listen to the top podcasts. Don't start a shitty podcast.
Yeah.
I've definitely been on some that, you know, whatever. They're not good interviewers. They're not, you know, whatever it is. Doesn't matter. And then just do it. And I think it's important to do for a couple different reasons. One, it's a great skill set to just learn and have in mm-hmm. your tool belt, right? It's just a great skill to be able to be on a podcast, to answer questions, to interview people, to ask good questions. It's an amazing skill set to learn. Like I've been in rooms with multimillionaires, billionaires. I'm never nervous to ask someone some questions and just chat with anybody, right? And whether that came from the podcast or not, I don't know, but let's just say it's a great skill set, a great practice to do. The other thing is it bakes in tons of short form content for you just immediately. So if you're, whether it's a single person podcast and all you're doing is talking or you're interviewing like this, you get so much short form content. My podcast would get more views on the short form stuff mm-hmm. than the long form, right? So obviously you record your podcast, you got the full audio file, hopefully you have a full video file. We're using Riverside right now. I know you like it, I love it, right? And so great platform to create shorts really easily. And like Riverside makes it so easy because you get the highlight button so you can mark it and mm-hmm. highlight. So the second I say something really interesting, click highlight, then the team knows you got a highlight. And then, I don't know, an hour episode, maybe you get 10, 15 different shorts. You run those on Instagram, TikTok, wherever. Those would end up doing better for me and getting more views and getting people interested and whatnot. And it's just like a content creating machine. So you do one or two episodes a week and you literally have your content for the week for the most part. Mm-hmm. And so it's phenomenal in that sense. And then for me, I was interviewing people like you are now. And if you are in a business or running a kind of business or marketing or whatever, and you have like a customer that, you know, you're looking for your customer and your service-based business or whatever it is, you know, it's an amazing way to talk to your ideal customer, right? Because if I email you and say, hey, I can run your Facebook ads better than you, it's leave me alone. I get 100 emails like that a day. But if I email you and I say, hey, I'd love what you're doing, love to have you on my podcast, totally different. And your guard is now down. We're having a fun, engaging conversation.
A lot of people don't get that, actually.
Right. I'm not trying to sell you anything. Yeah. Obviously, like you and I, this is our, we've had a couple conversations already that we talk before we hit record. We're going to talk after this recording ends. And so like there's plenty of opportunity to sell your services, sell yourself. But there's an amazing place when you are good at podcasting that now I'm like, wow, I'm looking at Bogdan, like, man, he knows his stuff. He really, like he said these really engaging things and this and that. And so I had a 28% conversion rate from guest to clients on my podcast, which was great, obviously. 4 guests a month, you get a new client every month, right? So do 8 guests, you know, do 2 a week, you get 2 guests a month, right? And it was just fun. Like, you get to meet these super interesting people. And like, I met the guy who was behind Beanie Babies. And like, we talked about that forever. And then like, what happened after Beanie Babies and Beanie Boos, and then how they made that super successful and what he had to do that. And, you know, we remember Beanie Babies, but I don't remember Beanie Boos. But Beanie Boos was like 10 times more successful from a sales volume perspective than Beanie Babies. And then we just had this crazy cool conversation, you know, from the CEO that's been to 150 countries and just brilliant guy. And just super fun stuff. And so you just never know who you'll, you know, and I think it's just an opportunity for you to do really high networking too, because it's like, you have a reason to reach out to someone. You have a reason to network with someone. You can walk up to that person that you admire and say, hey, I'd love to have you on my podcast. And I think you can even have a really small podcast with barely any views. And if you produce it well enough, the perceived value is still there.
That's the thing.
That I'll join your podcast, right?
It takes a lot of effort to produce a great podcast. Some people are just doing it really, really simple, and they record it and they put it out there raw, whatever. My company deals with making sure that the podcast looks as good as possible. That's one of the things that we do for our clients. So obviously the guests have a great experience, a premium experience, and obviously the content itself can attract more opportunities to your business. So I think there are these two ways of getting clients through podcasts. Is one, and a lot of people don't think about this, like I would say 90% of people don't think about this, is like the actual guest could become a client or a partner or anything, right? Or somebody that could refer you to a client, you never know, right? Two is the actual people that listen to your podcast, and I've talked with quite a few people in the content marketing space, and what basically a listener is somehow a zoomed out version of your target audience. If you make your podcast correctly, if your podcast is designed in such a way that it attracts this kind of people as well. So if you have those two things in your podcast, I think your podcast could become something successful. That's why I push loads of my clients and telling them, look, you need to do something that looks good, that you are proud of. Because if you are proud of it, guests of any type of guest, right? Maybe somebody that just started his own business, or maybe somebody that built million-dollar businesses like you, for example, would be proud of being on the show, right? Yep. So that's what you want to do. I was just interviewed by somebody from a magazine. I'm not going to say the magazine because I'm not sure if they want that put into the podcast or something. But they asked me, like, are there too many podcasts out there? And I said, yes, I think there are too many podcasts out there, but there are not enough good podcasts out there. There's loads of bad podcasts, but not enough good podcasts. And I would also say, encourage like people, if they want to get on a podcast, they need to get on a good podcast, because that's really going to push your authority up.
And I would say do 100 episodes. That's my goal. I'm not there yet. So that's why I said it's a hiatus. I'm not quitting.
Do you know which number you are at the moment?
60 something, 70 something.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. You're almost there.
Yeah. But I said I wouldn't give up on it until I hit 100 episodes. Because interestingly enough, I think at least when I started my podcast, 99% didn't get past 20 episodes. So to your point, a lot of people start them and abandon them and don't really go with it. And so there's so many I find that are dead, but it's a great opportunity. And, you know, they're just fun. Like, just get on some at first, like I said, and maybe you suck, maybe you're boring, and maybe it's not something you're very good at, but everybody can like bubble up a little bit, be a little bit more charismatic, whatever it is.
And you can develop that skill, obviously, over time. For me, it was very helpful from that perspective, especially since English is my second language, right? And obviously, if I would need to speak in Romanian right now, I would be like a totally different person, right?
Yep.
But I felt like in 8 episodes, because this podcast, I think it's on 8th episode at the moment, because I do this every 2 weeks, it really like shaped the way I speak as well. My video producer, Michal, shout out to Michal, doesn't need to do as many cuts anymore. So it's really good. And you need to be raw, because I think you said something in one of your, because I did a little bit of research, and you said something like, people want to hear, you know, some of the backstories, right? Of yourself as a founder, for example. They also want to hear I would say, the fuck ups as well, right?
Yeah.
Don't want to hear only the good stuff, because on the website.
That was one of the questions I asked in every single episode. I wouldn't name it as a mistake, but I forgot how I would ask the question, but it was like, yeah, what are like the two or three top, you know, learnings you had from, you know, something that could have gone better or whatever it is. Like, I originally called them mistakes, and then one guest called me out not to call it a mistake, to call it something else. I forget what it was. It was such a good call out. So I did that. And yeah. But it is like, those are the things that you learn the most, right? I mean, the reason that I was able to make Fetch and Funnel so successful and scale it to a point where I was able to exit is only because I had three other failed startups.
Before we dive back into the episode, I want to give a quick shout out to SaaSPod. Not only are they the masterminds behind this podcast, but they also power dozens of other shows you know and love. SaaSPod offers a flexible pay-as-you-go podcast production service that grows with you. Whether you need help choosing the right equipment, booking guests, editing, or setting up your podcast, they've got you covered. The best part? The team at SaaSPod isn't just professional. They make the entire process fun and stress-free. If you've been sitting on a great podcast idea, now is the time to bring it to life. Visit SaaSPod.com and use the code TPF2025 to get 20% off your first production package. That's TPF2025 for 20% off. All right, let's get back into the episode. What went wrong exactly?
With the other ones?
Yeah, I mean, you don't need to go into crazy details on all three.
One was too early, a little too early, and technology like wasn't quite proven out. And the technology was kind of expensive, so the numbers didn't quite work super well. Mm-hmm. The other one, I just didn't have the push enough to like really push it and grind it out and get it out there as much as it would have needed to in order to really crush it. And then the other one was doing better due diligence about your, service providers or whoever it is that you're going to use. Cause a lot of people will tell you what you want to hear, but not what reality is. Mm-hmm. So then when contracts went to go get signed, when I was able to close customers, the fulfillment wasn't at the level that I had expected. And so it was just better for me to back out of it and not do it anymore and do something different. So,
Well, you're grinding up, you're doing the work, and you definitely succeeded even after three.
One was called Green Bikes, and it was way back in like 2011. So I had Green Bikes before Green Line Bikes even existed.
And now they kind of crush it, right?
With the, yeah, especially 100%.
Here, I'm not sure how it's in the US, in Las Vegas, right? But
I know the owner from Lime Scooters, and he had a $300 million exit.
Jeez. Right.
And it was like hubless bikes. Like, it didn't exist when I was pitching it and selling it and trying to build it up. And it was a little too early, and the technology wasn't really quite there. And the guys quoted me some pricing, and then they came back when push came to shove and they like tripled their pricing. Great. None of my numbers work anymore.
Yeah. But for example, the podcast, How I Built This.
Oh yeah. Such a great one.
Yeah. I asked ChatGPT, I asked, what's the best episode? I would like to listen to it to see what it is. And it's with the founders of Instagram, which basically they described that at the beginning, they didn't expect to have as many people, beta testers on the platform, and they had their entire app running on a computer and it crashed. And for me, that felt so reassuring, right? Because I do have a SaaS product as well, and it does have a few hiccups here and there, right? Because it's hard to get everything perfect, and you need also data and users to use it in order for that to become better and so on. And it just felt like, you know what? Even these guys, fucked it up at some point.
Oh yeah.
So, it just feels good. So
that's a good one.
Yeah. So that's cool.
I think it's just being proactive, right? I think that's one of the big things I've seen so many businesses make that mistake of like, well, we messed up. We don't want to accept that we messed up. So we're going to pretend we didn't. That's like the worst thing you can do.
No,
but if you own your mistake and you're upfront about it, like, we've promoted I don't know, dozens and dozens of Kickstarters and Indiegogos and you name it, right? Fulfillment happens way later than you expected in so many things. But if you communicate that, it's so much better, you know, and you build a relationship with your customer anyways, and that's the best thing you can do. So
Cool. So one last question here. If you could tweak just one part of a funnel, which I know that you need to have a holistic approach to this, it's not like one thing fixes everything. But if there's one thing that would really like make a difference into someone's business, what would that be? What part would you tweak?
It's all emotion, drawing more emotion, all right? Like 90% of funnels aren't highlighting benefits enough. So you need to highlight the benefits. Everything should be benefits, benefits, benefits. Benefits over features. It's one of the core things. I guarantee you, go read your website right now. Go read your landing page, your funnel, whatever it is. You are not talking about the benefits enough. You're talking about the features.
So just really quickly, like make that differentiation for us. Like what are the benefits? How are they different from actual features?
Right. Like, okay, you're going to tell me the horsepower and the torque and all this stuff of this car. Those are all like features of the vehicle, but that's not how 500 horsepower makes me feel. Mm-hmm. Right. If you show me what 500 horsepower makes me feel, then I watched and I, whoa, when I get all excited about it. Right. Or, you know, if you're a dentist, testimonials and having, you know, and talking about like the experience and how good you felt afterwards and how I was calm the entire time I was inside the practice and they made me feel comfortable. And then I walked out of there smiling and so happy after the experience. And now I'm smiling to everybody because I'm so excited about my smile. And then it shows the person smiling and super happy. So it's trying to showcase more emotion. So many people don't have smiling faces in their website. They're not really, right? Because I want to be able to see myself on your website because, you know, if you think about the hero's journey, it's such a great book, but it's like the hero is your customer, right? And your website is the guide. And so it's so important to do that. So yeah, benefits is just like, how does this make my life better, improve my life, improve whatever. And so
that's what people want at the end of the day, right?
Right.
So
that's it.
Why would you talk about features when you could talk about exactly what the customer is looking for? So for anything in any industry, I think it's applicable. So I think this is a great advice. I think it's the best one.
It's a worthwhile exercise. And right, like facts tell, but emotions sell, and most sales happen through emotion. And I've seen this time and time again. When clients come on board to Fetch a Funnel, one of the first things we really do is dig into that. And so a lot of times clients don't even know what those benefits are. So what we actually do is list out the features, because that's really easy for any founder or marketer or whatever to list out, right? What's the features of my service, my product, whatever? And you just list it out on Excel, blah, 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 like all these features. Good. And then next to that feature,
benefits.
What benefit does that feature give to me? Right? It saves me time. It gives me, it makes me feel good. It saves me money. It does this, it does that, whatever it is, right? You'll find that a founder, CEO gets so like reinvigorated about their business. Like I've dozens of times a client come back and be like, thank you for that exercise because like I forgot what made my business so exciting and what makes my product so great. Like I kind of forgot. You know, and you re-excited me about it because it's like, well, yeah, you know, RPM and this and this and it does this thing and this and that. And it's just all you get, you know, it's so easy for founders and people within the company to get so granular because you essentially get a doctorate of your product. So now you're like, no, so much about this little thing that it's really hard to get that 20,000 foot view. And that's really kind of what you're trying to get to.
I think this is really, really practical advice. And I think loads of people, if they use this, obviously they will, like you said, it's a worthwhile exercise. It's something that's going to open up your eyes about your business and stuff. Because sometimes we get so focused into our day-to-day thing and we forget about actually what the customers feel. You know, maybe they don't feel the right thing. So we have to make sure that the actual fulfillment of that service is exactly what the promise is. And I think there's no way of stopping you after that.
Yep. And in 5 seconds, I need to know what you do. When I land on your website, I need to know right away. When I see those headlines, those descriptions that are just like
too much.
What are you even talking about? I don't even know what you do. Aspirational series. You're just what? What am I even looking at? You know what I mean? I can't stand that. Like, no. Like we will scale your business by 5x. Okay. By doing it, you know, by increasing your paid advertising, you know, whatever. Right. Okay. I get what you do now. Right. Like it just, you know,
gave me an idea on this podcast. Like, what if you would create a podcast about a feature, right, that you have on your website. And then in that episode, you describe the benefits of that. Like you go through maybe a case study or something like that with, for example, what one of your clients actually got out of it. Let's say, I'm not sure, like we had a dentist as an example, but we could have one client, interview that client on that, and they will tell you exactly what the benefits are, right? So I think that's pretty interesting as well to use podcasting and empower that idea of benefits marketing. That's pretty cool.
It's so important. It really is like the holy grail of everything that you can do to increase. I mean, that's old school marketing stuff, but it still rings more true today than ever because, yeah, and in the age of everything's being written by AI now.
People want to connect to people, man. I always tell everybody that. I hate it when I call a business and I don't get somebody on the phone in 5 minutes. Like if I need to speak to a chat or anything like that, don't get me wrong, they are helpful tools. They help us with some of the things like customer retainers when we don't work at that time, for example, it's outside office hours or anything like that. But when I message somebody, if I get a fast response and a genuine one, and I do feel emotion, like you said, from that person, and I'm not feeling like I'm not seeing just features, but I do feel like that person is actually caring about my business, I say, yeah, man, take my money. Do it.
It's it. It's it. Right? Like, Apple is the king of it, you know, majority of the time. Like everyone always wants to be like Apple for a reason, but like I do not want a Vision Pro in any way, shape, or form. But the way that it makes you feel, right? And they're telling you it seamlessly blends digital content with your visual space, right? The ultimate theater wherever you are. I'm like, shit, now I want one. Like what? I have this huge movie screen while I'm sitting in a boring, you know, I have this immersive feeling now where I'm in this boring plane, right? And then it shows like a workspace with infinite space. It's like, it's highlighting the feature and the benefit almost at the same time. And you always see faces, you always see people smiling, right? I love the grandpa and the granddaughter playing the piano, and now you get to relive that memory and be in the moment all over again, right? I mean, it's like they are showcasing the feature as it relates to the benefit and immersing you in that feeling that you would get. I'm like, I don't want a Vision Pro at all. I don't think it's very practical in the first iteration of it. But when I look at that website, I'm like, maybe I should go buy a Vision Pro.
Well, I'll tell you, man, when you show me the elephants, right, walking around, and you show me Africa, and I've never been to Africa, right? I would love to visit one day. I just felt at that moment, I want to be there.
Yeah.
Right? I would love to be there, right? Because I'm here in rainy Scotland, right? And I'm like, oh man, that sunshine and that dryness. I really love that stuff, right? So it's really cool, man. That's really cool. So I really appreciate, man, coming on the show. I think it was a blast. And I think a lot of people got a lot out of it. If people want to work with you, learn more about you, where they can reach out, where they can find you.
I'm the only Samir El Kamouni in the world, so it's pretty easy to find me. So any channel, LinkedIn, Insta, wherever, you know, hit me up. You can email me at samir@avanti3.com. Certainly any other social medias, I'm on them. You can hit me up, no worries. And I'm happy to help anybody, right? Like no matter where you're at in your business or you know, in your journey or trying to figure it out or you want some advice. I love helping people, and I especially love helping people create financial freedom for themselves. That's one of the biggest rewards for me that I can ever do for anybody. And I really don't have anything to sell anybody right now. So there's no pressure if anybody talks to me. So it's why I joke when I'm at networking events, because I say I'm the most dangerous man in the room because I don't have anything to sell anybody. So yeah. I just have value to provide. So yeah, happy to help anybody in their journey. And of course, yeah, Fetch a Funnel is a great agency. I highly recommend everything that we're doing. I'm still involved for now until Avanti 3 really hits the ground running this fall. But everything we've said, like I think you can do a lot of research to take it to the next degree. But if all you do is just apply, you know, take one or two takeaways from what we've talked about and actually go and apply that over the next couple of weeks, I promise you it'll have a positive impact on your business.
100%. I think one of the things that loads of people don't do is like they listen to a podcast, you know, and they don't apply what they've listened to, or they had a mentor telling them something and they don't do anything about it. And obviously, you know, why did you listen to this podcast, right? Why did you listen to this mentor? Why did you listen to that person? It just better don't listen anymore if you don't apply it. So definitely apply it and reach out to Samir if you need his help. He said he's happy to help. So that's great and really appreciate it. And thank you so much for joining to this episode. I hope you had a great, great time with us here in the Riverside studio. Next episode is going to be launched in 2 weeks. So don't forget to tune in. Thank you and see you later. Bye.